Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Tomorrow, of course, is Election Day. Now, I've been following elections since I was a little kid. I first remember watching the Carter Ford election in 1976, so more than 40 years. And usually I approach Election Day with a lot of excitement, maybe a little bit of fear. This year, you know what? It's more fear than excitement. I don't know if any of you saw Saturday Night Live, but there's an ad about the Democrats that expresses my feelings pretty clearly. It's like, we're gonna win. We've gotta win. If we don't win, what are we gonna come to as a nation? This has been more of a battle for American values than I have ever seen in an American election. I have never seen such open racism, hatred, lies, and blatant fear put out by either party. And in this case, of course, it's by the Republican Party. Blatant. I mean, I remember the Willie Horton ad. I remember George Bush Sr.'s dog whistle racism, suggesting that one black prisoner freed that did a horrible thing meant that all black people were who knows what. But this is open foghorn racism. This is really scary. Republicans have gone all in on their hope and belief that America is fundamentally a racist, unfair nation. They believe that their own voters are idiots who will believe lie after lie after lie. The president, who in his first year in office lied 5 times a day, documented lies, not things we're wondering about. And this isn't something you should take my word for. You should look at the study in the Washington Post. Look at Glenn Kessler, the fact checker, who has documented thousands upon thousands of lies. He's now at the rate of 30 lies a day. That's hard to lie 30 times a day. You have to work at it. Crazy notions that ISIS terrorists have somehow flown to Guatemala and are walking hidden by mothers and their children in a caravan. They're going to walk 1,000 miles. It's ridiculous. Anyone with half a brain knows it's ridiculous. The 9/11 terrorists, by the way, none of them arrived across our southern border. They all flew in on airplanes. In fact, the majority of people who arrive here illegally arrive here by plane. And I don't believe Donald Trump has proposed building a wall along all our coasts yet that's 50,000 feet high and keeps out all airplanes. This is an absolute battle of hope versus fear, of love versus hate. And that sounds so apocalyptic. It sounds like I'm exaggerating. And yet, what do we have? Democrats are running on healthcare. Democrats believe that just because you have a genetic condition, just because you have what the insurance companies call a pre-existing condition, something that's not your fault, something that you can't help, something like maybe you're a woman or maybe you're a baby, that you shouldn't be denied health care in America. You should have the right to get insurance like everyone else. That seems pretty basic. Republicans, of course, refuse that. They believe that only rich people deserve health care, and if you can't afford it, you shouldn't get it. And if that means that a bunch of Americans have to die, so be it. Does that sound apocalyptic? Well, it has the unfortunate addition of also being true. Meanwhile, they are stoking racism, anti-Semitism, xenophobia, misogyny. You know what? All those Latin terms don't do justice to what the Republicans are doing. They are trying to encourage white people to hate and fear brown people and black people and Jews. They're trying to convince men that sexually assaulting a woman is no big deal. And if they're accused of it, it must be false. After all, the president bragged about grabbing women by, well, a word I don't like to use on radio. So I'll just say their private parts. Our president is far more crass. They are filling the airwaves with lies that would make Joseph Goebbels proud. Joseph Goebbels, of course, was the Nazi propagandist who taught that little lies, people know when you make little lies. You lie about your age. You lie about whether or not you remembered your spouse's anniversary. People do that all the time, so well, hopefully they don't forget their spouse's anniversary. But it does happen, and when it happens, people catch it because it's a little lie. You say someone is looking good today when they're really not. A little white lie, you might call it. Well, Goebbels writes that big lies are often more believable as propaganda than little lies. Say that there's a secret Jewish cabal that's working behind the scenes to control everything, that explains everything, and you can't prove it because it's secret. People are going to believe that because it's not the kind of little lie that ordinary people would normally make. The Nazis taught that Jews were vermin, disease-ridden. Does that sound something like what they're talking about in the caravan? And these hateful lies have real consequences. Professor at George Mason University in Virginia made up the vicious, baseless lie that George Soros had somehow occupied the State Department, absolutely saying what the today's neo-Nazis, what they call themselves the alt-right, have been saying in all their chat rooms that the Jews are behind the caravan and the Jews are marching the brown people in to take over and replace the white people. You know, it hurts to even repeat this stuff. It's so nasty and so false and so evil. And yet you have Republicans like Steve King in Iowa running on open white nationalism. You have a president who says there's good people on both sides when neo-Nazis march against the counter-marchers, talking about how blacks shouldn't, people like Colin Kaepernick shouldn't kneel to protest police violence against black people, never once condemning when the police wrongfully shoot unarmed black people for no reason. It hurts as an American to see such hate. The President of the United States has an air, has an add-on that thankfully many stations have refused to air, that is typical of these racist lies. At least in the Willie Horton ad, Willie Horton was a real person, a terrible man who happened to be black. In this case, Donald Trump is releasing an ad of a horrible immigrant who bragged about killing police officers. Now, this immigrant was deported by Bill Clinton, allowed back in by George W. Bush, and by no less than his own racist sheriff, the sheriff of Maricopa County, Joe Arpaio in Arizona. And he committed dastardly, horrible acts and bragged about them. Now, the Democrats deported him. The Republicans let him back in. And Donald Trump uses this ad to say that Democrats want to let in all these terrible people. In other words, it's exactly precisely false. Now, I don't believe Republicans want to let in these terrible people either. They happen to in this case. The Republicans were negligent. If anything, complain about Joe Arpaio and George W. Bush. But a discerning person recognizes that you can't blame all immigrants for the acts of one terrible person. A terrible white man a week ago walked into a synagogue with an AR-15 and murdered 11 people, the oldest being a 97-year-old woman, while she was praying. I haven't heard a single Democrat, liberal, Jew, black person say that all white people are dangerous because of the actions of this despicable white man. That would be prejudice. That would be bigotry. No one thinks that all white men are bad. Even though white men, let's face it, are the greatest terrorists in the United States, far greater than Islamic terrorism, far greater than immigrant crimes. The mass murders today are done mostly by right-wing, Trump-loving white nationalists. But no one thinks that all Trump supporters or all white men are dangerous. That would be ridiculous. And yet Trump is saying, because there's one immigrant years ago, deported by the Democrats and allowed back in, unfortunately, mistakenly, by Republicans, that we have to fear all immigrants. And he thinks this fear and hatred that he's whipping up against people thousands of miles away that, frankly, won't approach our borders for another couple months, and I don't think we'll even notice when they do because their numbers are much, much smaller than the ordinary people applying for asylum every day in America. Trump believes that this is what America is all about. That we are a country that is fundamentally racist and unfair. That we are a country that fundamentally hates immigrants, even though we ourselves, the vast majority of us, are descendants of immigrants. That the English who didn't want to allow the Irish, and then the English and Irish that didn't want to allow the Germans, and then the English, Irish, Germans, Northern Europeans who didn't want to allow Southern Europeans like Italians, didn't want to allow in the Jews, didn't want to allow in Asian Americans, the Chinese, that's fundamentally who we are as a nation. We are a nation of racist, excluding people. And you know what? To some extent, he's right. Racism and hatred and fear have always been part of American history. But I don't believe that's fundamentally who we are as a nation in 2018. Yes, there are Americans who are racist. Yes, there are Americans who are hateful. Yes, there are Americans who are terrible people. But I don't believe that we as a nation are filled with more hate than love. I don't believe as a nation we are filled with more racists than those of us who believe that every American deserves a chance, deserves a better life. And that's why this election scares me so much. I think we're going to win. I think America will reject the most divisive president in American history. Someone who has taken us to so much hatred that it's the worst time, I believe, since the American Civil War of Americans hating one another. I think we're going to reject it, but I'm not 100% sure. All I know is that if you're listening to my voice, I ask you to vote. And you got to vote for the Democrats no matter who's running. I don't normally say that, even though I'm a Democrat. But this is a fundamental choice between love and hate, between tolerance, acceptance, and fear and division. And you, tomorrow, will help decide the destiny of your nation. Be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So tomorrow is Election Day. And it may be that 100 million Americans who can vote don't vote. And a lot of people don't vote because they think their voices don't matter, that one vote won't count, that they really aren't being heard. Even though this little action that takes a few minutes of your time in a busy day will determine the future of our country. And that sounds so trite. I know that. I know that it does. But we've never had, not in my lifetime, a president like this openly calling the press the enemy of the people. And that's words from Joseph Stalin. Donald Trump seems to really like his dictators. But what does it mean to oppose the First Amendment? To say that the press is the enemy of the people? For pointing out that the president lies all the time. That's what he's so angry about. That, yeah, that's something Vladimir Putin would do, or Saddam Hussein, or Kim Jong-un, or Joseph Stalin. It's not something we normally think of as a president. Some people don't vote because, well, the Democratic Party has disappointed them. I'm sorry. I don't accept that. If you don't like the way the Democratic Party is going, you should join us. You should change us. It's not that hard to do. You can join your local Democratic Party today and help them canvass. You can join them tomorrow. You can join after the day after the election. You can run for office yourself. You can support like-minded candidates. You can try to win in a primary. The difference between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, though real, pale in comparison to the differences between both of them and the gulf between them and the racist, hateful, corrupt, incompetent, disgusting monster we have, who currently was rejected by the American people, but because a few people didn't vote in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, is currently our president. Now, I'm aware they're putting barriers in your place. Particularly in places like Georgia, voter suppression is real. Actually, in Wisconsin, it was real. New laws put in place by Republicans make it really, really hard for people to vote if you don't have an ID. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. You can always vote provisionally, always. That's federal law. Don't let anyone tell you you can't cast a vote. You can always vote provisionally and prove your ID later. But we all know who doesn't have IDs. It's people of limited means. It tends to be minorities. It tends to be young people. It tends to be the very people who are most vulnerable and most defended by the Democratic Party. You owe it to your country to vote. And frankly, you really shouldn't complain about the direction of your country if you don't vote. If you don't think the system works, get involved. Make a difference yourself. If you don't have time, ask someone you know who has time. But you do have time to vote. I've been encouraged by the huge amounts of people who are early voting this election. But if you're ever considering not voting, it's simply not an option. It's Mark Levine. I'll be right back right after this.
Attack. Mark Levine is ready. Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Throughout the first half of this broadcast, I've been talking a lot about immigration, the caravan, racism, hatred, fear. And I'm kind of disappointed in myself for doing it. I mean, this is the Republican battleground. They think racism sells. That's why they're selling it. And here I am, a liberal, talking about their agenda of hate and fear of other people. And I'm talking about it because it so offends me. And yet, it's not even an issue, other than it's ginned up by the Republicans. Immigration's down in America. Did you know that? Crime is down in America. Did you know that? Immigrants commit crimes at a lesser rate than American citizens. Did you know that? If you rounded up and deported all of us American citizens and left just the undocumented immigrants, we'd be a peaceful place. A more peaceful place. Because citizens commit crimes at a greater rate. Now, white nationalists, no one's proposing doing that. So stop with your nasty comments. This isn't even a real issue. You want to talk about real issues? Let's talk about the health crisis in America. Let's talk about drug prices through the roof. Let's talk about people going bankrupt because they can't afford health care. They're doing just fine in their middle class life, struggling along, or working class, just paying the bills, and then grandma gets sick. Daddy has a heart attack. Your husband, your wife gets cancer. And suddenly all those protections are gone. Now, the Affordable Care Act, which the Republicans call Obamacare, did give you protection. But state after state has been trying to take it away. The Republicans in Congress have voted to repeal it some, 70 times, something like that. These are real issues that affect real Americans. It's the reason why Democrats, that's what we're talking about. That's why I'm embarrassed that I spent so much time on the Republican agenda. Republicans think that you hate foreigners more than you care about your sick relatives. Democrats think you care more about your sick relatives more than you hate foreigners. But the hating foreigners stuff, that's as old as America and yet meaningless today. It's such a small number of people. We had a massive number of people come from Cuba in 1980. Indeed, that boat lift brought Cubans to our shores, and we have Republicans like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz who are descendants of Cuban Americans who could just arrive in our beaches and become immediately permanent residents. You swim to Florida and you get a green card. And you know what? I'm fine with that, but I'm not fine with this racist idea that only Cubans can get that and not others who are trying to escape violence, trying to escape oppression, trying to live the American dream. How can Ted Cruz, whose family profited from being an immigrant, try to keep immigrants out? It takes a particularly kind of sadistic cruelty to support separating children from their parents forever, leaving lifelong horrible consequences just because you hate brown people. And I know Republicans say, no, we don't hate brown people. We don't hate brown people. We want a wall on our southern border. We don't want a wall on our northern border because Canadians are, they never ever answer that question. Why don't we have a wall on our northern border? Did you know that only two terrorists who ever have been documented to enter the United States via a land border? And they both came from Canada, one in Washington State, one in Vermont. Now, I'm not saying Canadians are dangerous, and no, I don't want to build a wall across our northern border, and I think it'd be really, really hard to build it in the Great Lakes. But I don't hear about the threat from the white Canadians ever. This is just classic racism. And here I go back again. To the Republican agenda, I guess, because it bothers me so much. Let's talk about the Democratic agenda. Let's talk about stopping climate change. Have you noticed that the hurricanes are getting more severe and more deadly with more force winds and much greater flooding than ever before? Have you noticed that the entire Arctic ice cap is mostly gone now in the summers? That's extraordinary. That ice cap has been there for millions of years. And human activity has caused it to go away. And Republicans deny what you can see with your own eyes. I don't know whether they claim the satellite images are false or that all the people who have pictures going on ships throughout the Arctic Ocean that used to be ice are actors. I guess there's some people who think the moon landing was faked. But climate change is real. Science is real. And if you ever doubt who's telling you the truth, just look at the issue of climate change. And once you see that Democrats are telling the truth and Republicans are lying, maybe you should vote for the Democrats. Poverty is still a huge problem in America. Not because there are not jobs. Unemployment is very low, thanks Obama. He did the right thing in getting us out of the greatest recession that could have become greater than the Great Depression. And the economy is still humming along, thanks Obama. But there's still huge discrepancies between the very wealthy and middle class and working class people. And Republicans believe in making those discrepancies bigger. When you find it's expensive to go to college, remember, Republicans support less money for public colleges so they can support more money in tax cuts for billionaires. Remember, when your Social Security and Medicare check gets cut by this president, who has said he will do so, and the Republican Congress that have said they will do so, and remember, Paul Ryan tried to do so, that money's going to massive multinational corporations and their shareholders, a huge number of which, maybe a third, are not even in the United States. So, yeah, grandma can't get health care, daddy can't get treatment for his heart attack, but the Saudi sheikhs are making your money. Is that what you want? Do you see why the Republicans have to play on hate and fear? Because their policies are making you poorer. They're making it harder for you to get health care. And so they're just going to pick on vulnerable people. That's what they do. Let's attack transgendered people, a tiny percentage of Americans, but ones who deserve the same equal rights and freedom to live as anybody else. Let's attack gay people. Let's bring up vicious anti-Semitic ideas that lead unstable people to go out and murder at a Pittsburgh synagogue. Let's encourage people to hate black people and brown people. That is all they've got. What else have they run on? They could try to take credit for Obama's economy. They're not. All they run on is hate and fear. And the Democrats, we're running on practical proposals on health care. We're running on protecting Social Security and Medicare, running on getting college costs down, running on increasing the minimum wage, running on making things easier for working families. And I guess that sounds boring. I guess it's hard to get excited about helping people achieve the American dream. But isn't that what our country's all about? That's the choice we're going to have to make tomorrow. That's why you cannot sit on the sidelines. You've got to get out and vote. And wherever you live, the lines aren't that long. We've actually done better than we have in the past. And if they are long, you know, you could, depending on your job, you don't have to necessarily vote in the morning. I find I vote around 10 or 11 a.m. and there's no one at the polls. But it's worth it. It's your country we're talking about. The parties could not be more different. And if the Republican Party is not rebuked for its dalliance with dictatorship, with authoritarianism, with censoring the press, with telling lie after lie after lie, with complete disrespect for victims of sexual violence, domestic violence, whatever your issue is, maybe your issue is guns. Maybe your issue is you don't want dangerous, mentally ill people to have easy access to firearms. Maybe you don't want neo-Nazis to be able to walk down to the gun store. Maybe you don't want terrorists like Al-Qaeda to be able to legally buy weapons of war like AR-15s. You'd think Republicans would oppose radical Islamic terrorists known to the government, considered so dangerous they can't even fly on planes because they might take a plastic fork or knife and start hurting people with it or using their fists. And yet they can buy an AR-15 and walk into your closest shopping mall. 98% of Americans support background checks, including 97% of gun owners. but the Republican Party doesn't. Is it enough to get out of your chair the fact that Republicans want dangerous people to have easy access to guns and won't do the most basic things that other nations do to keep them from it? This is not to take guns away from anyone but dangerous criminals. How ironic that Trump says we have to keep out all immigrants, even those escaping violence, even those legally seeking asylum. We have to keep all these immigrants because a few of them might commit violent crimes with a gun that we could pass laws to keep violent criminals from getting. I'm going to talk after the break about what I expect to happen in this election. But never doubt that this is an election for American values. This is an election for the heart and soul of who we are as a nation. And if our nation descends into more hatred and more division and more violence and more people each other's throats, and you didn't vote for the Democrats, well, you only have yourself to blame. It's Mark Levine. Sorry for this apocalyptic imagery. I just don't know what else to do but pray and hope that America is better than this. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So here we are, you and me. This is my last chance to talk to you before Election Day. I'll be back on Wednesday, the day after Election Day, for a very special show where we will celebrate or commiserate the results together. And I'm pleading with you, make American history tomorrow. Some of you have voted already. Good for you. I'm proud of you. You're not the ones I'm appealing to at the moment. Well, actually, I am. If you voted already and you can still get out there and encourage others to vote today, put out a Facebook notice to everyone you know who believes that America still is a country for everyone, who believes that hatred and division and violence is wrong, who believe that lying and corrupt government is not what we should have. Tell them to vote. Get them to vote. Drive them to vote. Volunteer to your local Democratic Party to drive people to vote. If you're under 30, we need you now more than ever. Polls show that a majority of those of you between 18 and 30 who can vote won't vote. And it's tough. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you haven't gotten that absentee vote in. Maybe you could just make it home on Tuesday to cast your important vote. Some of you haven't registered. Some of you live in states like California where you can register the day you go to the polls. Make an attempt. Do your best. You know, the United States of America has given so much to all of us who live here. God knows we're not perfect, and God knows we're heading in the wrong direction. But fundamentally, if you love your country, if you believe in helping make a difference, you gotta vote. You know, I was talking with someone the other day saying you can't lecture non-voters. You can't harass them. I disagree. I want to harass them. Guilt trips work. Maybe it's my Jewish heritage. But how dare anyone who has achieved the wonderful world status of being an American, maybe just because you're born here, certainly if you chose to be a citizen. People, yes, the whole world over want to live here and you're just going to sit there and not vote. That's why bad things happen to good people when good people don't vote. Now, I'm actually optimistic about tomorrow, to be honest with you. I am. I'm scared, There's a wonderful Saturday Night Live post last night, if you haven't seen it, an ad about how Democrats are optimistic but very, very nervous. It was funny and a little scary. So I get it. But I am optimistic. I saw what we did in Virginia last year in 2017. I saw how we beat all the poll numbers because young people and women came out in massive numbers like they never had before. And yes, that's the only good thing Donald Trump has ever done in his presidency is bring out this blue wave. But we can't be complacent. Haven't we learned from 2016? The polls are way too close. In the House, I hope we do take over. I think we've got a good chance to take over. I think we could win 40, maybe 50 seats. Maybe 50 seats. Enough of a margin that we can pass truly progressive legislation and make the 2020 election about the Democrats' vision of raising the minimum wage and raising wages overall and lowering drug prices and helping people get jobs and helping people in vocational schools and going to college and protecting Social Security and Medicare and protecting civil rights, protecting women from sexual assault, protecting all of us from hate crimes. An America of respect and courage and love and justice. One where we truly have equality under the law. Where all of us who are created equal will have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are our ideals. A country that comes together, helping one another, versus a country of atomization, of self-isolation, of hate and fear, and sitting at home but in front of your computer or your smartphone and talking with fellow people who live in fear and hate and isolation. That's not who our country should be. But you gotta vote. And I'd love if you do more than vote. Get others to vote. This is an historic election day. If the Republicans prevail, and it looks like they may well prevail in the Senate, though I still think that can be changed. You hear me, Tennesseans? You hear me, Texans? Arizonans, Nevada, Missouri, North Dakota, Indiana, Florida. Your races are critical, critical to the future of the United States. The governor's race in Georgia, where they're desperately trying. The head of Georgia's election machinery, Brian Kemp, is running for governor. And he's trying to use his position of power to remove black voters from the voting rolls. He's engaged in voter suppression for tens of thousands, more than 50,000 voters, just this year, some 300,000 since he's been governor, since he's been, excuse me, Secretary of State. I don't want him to become governor. How would you feel if the batter in a baseball game, running from base to base, declares himself the umpire and says, you know what, I'm safe. This is what's happening in Georgia. The guy running for governor and the guy running the election of the guy running for governor are the same person. We learned long ago in 2000 that we Democrats have to vote beyond the margin of cheating. We have a president rejected by the American people, but he's still our president. We have a Senate whose majority is rejected by the American people because those of us who live in populous states get far less representation in Congress than those that live in the small states, right? I don't know why there are two Dakotas. But the 1.5 million people there have twice as much power as the 37 million in California. And there's gerrymandering throughout the House, which means that it's not representative either. The Supreme Court is not representative because it was chosen by an unrepresentative president and an unrepresentative Senate. We have to vote in superior numbers. It's not enough to win this election. We have to win by 6-7% just to break even. That's why it's up to you. When the going gets tough, it's rigged against us. It's up to Americans like you to stand up. Get out tomorrow. Vote. This is Mark Levine, signing off and hoping for a very happy day on the air with you on Wednesday.